Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. And today with me, I have Chris Murray. He is an expert in sales and business development. And we are going to talk about something that's a big problem with a lot of companies and a lot of listeners, and that's effective sales prospecting. Hey, Chris.
How are you doing?
Doing well. Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit before the call, you know, and as you said, back in the days, that's just something everyone did. We all did sales prospecting. And, you know, when I started my sales jobs and experience, you know, that was door to door and business to business, you know, or just cold calling. You know, it was just a normal thing. We did that for about an hour or two on the phone or pretty much all day when we're walking or going into businesses. You know, the closing and the sales, that was the fun part. You know, most of the time you were just stuck walking and just asking people if they're interested.
But isn't it strange though, if you think back to those days, there was always, because of the lack of internet and even phones up until sort of mid-80s, that there was always somebody knocking on the door or having a conversation or getting in touch. It was even in people's homes that there were people calling on a regular basis to deliver things or pick up money or whatever it may have been.
Yeah.
Because that's how everybody communicated. And as the internet really crept in the 90s, everybody started cocooning. Everybody really started to go more and more inward. And now when the reason that prospecting is getting so difficult for people is because the way people buy has changed. Anything I want, I can reach out and click with a mouse and obtain. And so the salespeople who are trying to get in touch with you for something you didn't even think you wanted, there's a big pushback with the way people buy these days.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, since you mentioned, you know, the good old days, it was very inefficient, you know, especially with the door-to-door, you know, with some of the... Well, even with the cold calling, you know, just on the phone, it was super inefficient. Like, we were lucky to get even two or three people that were sort of interested and we were selling, because it was just a lot of walking, right? It was very inefficient. I just think back
It's interesting you say that. Sorry to interrupt, but it's interesting you say that it was inefficient sales-wise.
Yeah.
But the efficiency that has come with the sales process in the last 20 or 30 years has been at the cost of the personalization from the customer's point of view. It's become incredibly impersonal now, because the lazy salesperson of 2018 will happily send out 1,000 nameless emails and hope that one sticks, rather than finding 5 people that they might be able to help and then trying to help them and doing it personally and brilliantly and wonderfully. So it was terribly inefficient, but it came with a human touch that a lot of people are losing with prospecting in the 21st century.
Yeah, and what I wanted to mention too is, as time went on, I remember some of the companies that I still worked for, they were all moving away from the cold calling into just getting leads or buying leads, right? That was a transition for a minute there. And I thought that was very dangerous too.
Very.
You know, because if you don't know how to get your own leads and you rely on someone else, you don't really have a business.
No, that's it. Whoever has the list owns the business. That's just a fact. When the person with the list walks away or you can't afford it anymore, you don't have a business anymore.
Yeah, so it's, you know, and this is very common with a lot of businesses, like the Amazon businesses or, you know, a lot of these platforms that you're building things on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, all of these, like, you know, you don't own anything, you know, and that's the problem with sales too. You know, the list, like you said, if you don't own that, you know, someone else is in charge. You're just lucky to be in that seat for now, you know, until they let you. But
small businesses, particularly small and medium-sized businesses, rather than large, but the small and medium-sized businesses are outsourcing their business development, because prospecting scares the new generation even more than it ever did. And the trouble with that is that if your business development outsourcing company goes out of business, leaves you, takes on a new client that isn't in competition with you, you have no control of where the next meal is coming from, you know?
It's true. You know, when I think of it now, all these guys selling SEO, which, you know, we do that a bit too, but not as much anymore, selling pay-per-click and all this stuff, like, the businesses are putting themselves in a really bad position by buying these services, some of them. You know, I would say SEO maybe not so much, but pay-per-click, that's, you know, it's very dangerous because, you know, this is how you're getting clients. This is the new way of prospecting for some people, you know, and outsourcing that completely, that's super scary.
And if you change the analogy for food, you know, if I often think that if I ended up on a desert island somewhere, I would have no idea how to, you know, do the basics of food preparation, of things that you can just buy in a supermarket or store now, or you'll go and a butcher will prepare for you, or somebody else will just package and look after you. It's the same with sales. We've taken away the skills that feed people. If they're just left to their own devices, and that's why it worries people so much, that we are so used to it being so many things being done for us that we've become completely impotent with regards to realizing we had to learn to do it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. So how do you go about fixing that?
The first thing I'd recommend, I think, is realizing that you can take control of your own business development. You can be in control of your own future. Somebody once said the best investment you can ever make is actually investing in your own business. You know, rather than investing in anywhere else or putting it somewhere else to make interest, you put an investment in your own business. And that doesn't have to be money. That can be time or effort. And I think if people just stood back and thought, where is my next big bit of business going to come from, and what do I want that to look like? I mean, there are a couple of stages with effective prospecting. Do you mind if I just outline that for you now?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so the first thing you want to do is make sure that you know exactly what your perfect dream client looks like, sounds like, smells like, walks like. if you go onto Facebook, if you create a Facebook ad, they allow you to find sort of a lookalike version of your favorite customer. If you click on your favorite customer, they will ask you how much like that person you want to find across. You know, it's quite scary that the Facebook analytics, that you can actually, that they can find people so similar to your favorite customer. I would say the 20th century version of that is you write down the name of your favorite customer on a piece of paper, and then you work out what you like about them. You know, what they buy off you, how big they are, how many people they employ, where they're based, location. Just map out your favorite customer and focus on who it is that you want to be looking for. Because, you know, ineffective sales managers and ineffective business owners start off by saying, everybody will buy this. And that's not true. And even if it was true, there's a selection of people who you'd rather buy it than others. So, you know, don't cross the ocean before you cross the street. Find the people who you want to sell to first, and then make a list of those people. Find those people out. Second point I'd make about that is you've got to make sure that you are organizing your time and your efforts correctly. There's an analogy I like to use, that the blue whale, the beautiful aquatic mammal that is the blue whale, needs 16,000 kilograms of krill every time it eats. If it doesn't take on around about 16,000 kilograms of krill, it won't have enough energy to open its mouth next time and feed again. There are no small snacks for a blue whale. It can't eat 8,000 kilograms of krill on the way to dinner, because if it does that, it won't have the energy to open its mouth. It'll sink to the bottom, starve to death and rot. So it has to eat that many krill, 16,000 kilograms, at least every time it opens its mouth. And I say the same thing about prospecting. You only open your mouth to the opportunities that will feed you. If you set your target as 16, 50, 100 calls a day, that's not good enough. What you want is 5 amazing calls every time, rather than a list of 500 who might. So find out exactly who it is that you want to call, what your perfect customer looks like, and then find out how much time, effort, what your target is to reach, and only open your mouth to the people that can feed that target for you.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Facebook and the lookalikes. Yes, this is what a lot of agencies do, right? It's the easy way out. It's also a horrible way to do things.
Oh, it's horrible. It is.
Because Facebook and Google, they're notorious for one thing, and it's taking your money. You know, that's what they do. So yeah. Even with a lookalike, I would say you still need that customer avatar that you mentioned, because you still want to put some constraints in place. You know, otherwise Facebook will find that 1%, and when they can't find enough, because you know the 1% is about 1 to 2 million people, and a lot of businesses that I deal with have a customer base of maybe 300,000-500,000. So that 1.5 million extra, you know, where do you think that's going to come from? Just, you know, whoever's hanging around, you know, just
absolutely.
So,
and that's so important. You know, but it's not a lot of effort, but it's a little bit more effort to actually work out your own customer avatar, work out your perfect prospect. The 20% of businesses and salespeople and business development people that do really well, they're at the top of the hill where the air's sweeter. They didn't put that much extra effort in, but they put in enough work, effort, time, and thought process to be ahead of the other 80%. It's half a day's work, but if you sit back and just take the long way around for a moment to get ahead of everybody else, it's so worth the effort.
Yeah, it's like watching swimming or running at the Olympics, right? The guy who wins is not far ahead from the second place. No. Usually, you know, sometimes it's a split second decision.
Sure.
Right.
And there's another analogy I use for prospecting, actually, because Usain Bolt, he ran the 100 meters in, I think, 9.89 seconds, and he did it in 41 steps. But the important thing there is not the 41 steps. It's not the number of calls you do. It's probably not even the steps. If I took 41 steps in a run, I certainly beat Usain Bolt, and I probably wouldn't do 100 meters. You know, the target was the 100 meters as fast as you could. And whatever your sales target is, that's what you're trying to reach. So talk to people who could help you achieve that, not just anybody who seems quite open to a conversation.
So how would you go about finding those people? Because that seems a little easier than it actually is, right? Even if you know your avatar, actually finding five people every single day that you should be talking to, that's not easy.
No, it isn't. And again, taking a step back a little bit, my definition of selling is to help people make great buying decisions. In the 21st century, nobody likes to be sold at anymore, but people love to buy from. Everybody loves to spend their money. Everybody loves to buy things. Nobody likes to be sold to. And I travel the world, and it's the same all across the world. Everybody feels that they like to buy things. Nobody feels they like to be sold at. And what you supply, what you do, your service or your product, whatever that might be, helps somebody. That's what they give you money for. There is something about what you do that people are willing to swap for money. And most purveyors of product or service have never sat back and worked out how they truly help. If you take your favorite current customer and even ask them, what is it that you get? What's the most important thing you get out of our product or service? Why do you like working with us? Because when you worked out how you help people, and if you wake up in the morning and go out to help people achieve what they want to achieve rather than to sell the thing you wanted to sell, then it's quite remarkable how many people start popping up within your list. I would say, Zig Ziglar said, if you go looking for friends, they're really hard to find, but if you go out to be one, they're everywhere. And I think if you go out to sell at people, customers are really hard to find, but if you go out to help them achieve what they're trying to achieve, you'll be surprised at how many people reach out to you. But once you know how you help people and you know the kind of people you're looking for, it's remarkable how the list in front of you starts shrinking down.
Yeah, so the way I've accomplished this is with pull marketing, right?
Huh?
And that's by posting a lot of good content that's helping the problems that my clients have, because I know my clients really well, in the places sure. where they hang out, right? And they get pulled into my funnels. They go check me out. They go to my website. They listen to the podcast. They sign up for calls with me. However, that's very different than me going out and searching for these people, right? I'm good at attracting customers, and I think quite a few people are getting good at that, but I still think that finding customers is really hard, right? And the way I do it is by bringing some of them on the podcast. Like, I think who might be my perfect customer, I'll do it maybe two out of the seven calls I do per month, and I'll bring two people on just to get to know them and see if I can help in any way, right? But what other ways can you think of doing the same thing, you know, especially for people that don't have a podcast?
Sure. Well, we have a system called 5-point prospecting. It's not because there are 5 points to follow. It's that I think that you should have a campaign list of tools at your disposal that you should be able to award yourself points so that you know where you get up to before you give them a call. In a very similar vein, we have an email series, funny enough, a 12-week free email prospecting series. Would you like me to give out the web address now, or would you like to put it somewhere towards the end? Can I say that?
Yeah, when you send it over, I'll put it in the show notes. But could you go over the 5-point prospecting so people know what that
means? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you this for two reasons. First of all, the people who I help are looking for strong advice about prospecting. It's what Perry Marshall, the marketing guru, calls the bleeding neck. You know, it's the people with the desperate need that we're trying to help. And if you're looking for a way to grow your business, then that is when you will sign up for the 12-week email prospecting. If you're not interested in it, you won't. And the campaign, that's one of the tools that people could have on a campaign. But if you take LinkedIn as an example, if you post an article or a webinar or some kind of interview or some kind of email series on LinkedIn, then there's a fair chance that the people that need you will see it. You could even send through the thing that helps. I like quadrants. I do a lot of quadrants. I know this isn't visual, but if you can think of two axes, one, things that are interesting to customers and not interesting to customers, and things that are designed to sell and things that are designed to help. Have a look at your own marketing. Have a look at the things that you have available with regards to proof statements and testimonials, videos, and have a look at the stuff that's both interesting to customers and designed to help them make a great buying decision. And then start formatting that to actually organizing your customer attraction campaign. And as they start to come and see you, as they start to engage with you, award each one a slight point, so that when you've awarded yourself 5 points, you know it's time to pick up the phone call, because it's time to pick up the phone and make the call. The problem with most cold calling, which is not anymore really, but prospecting, is some people never pick up the phone and go far past the point when they should have done, and some people pick it up too early. In this wonderful digital age, if you connect with me or start selling to me on our very first conversation, then you'll push me away. Because prospecting in a gold sense wasn't selling the gold. Prospecting was finding the gold and then taking it into town. The whole idea of great prospecting is you go and find the people you want to work with, show them how you can help, and then award yourself a time frame before you get in touch with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. some of it is still pull marketing, you know, that attracting part. You know, so you're still putting the content out in the beginning.
Sure. But the prospecting hasn't got any part of selling in it. It's when you send your first LinkedIn invite, you should send a LinkedIn invite and then you don't start selling then. You send an email that says, thanks so much for the connection. Here is a link to our latest video, white paper, whatever it might be. Let me know if I can help you. And then following on from that, we have something that we share in our prospecting workshop that I call the survey question. And it's poised so that we get some level of reaction to find out what their biggest problem is at the moment. When they respond to that, we're still not selling, we give them the answer. And then after that, we eventually get to the point where we pick up the phone and give them a call and move them into being a live prospect. But like I say, prospecting hasn't got any element of selling in it. That's where everybody falls down. That's why you scare the horses every time you pick up the phone and say, do you want to buy this?
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. It's a whole different thing from selling. That's why a lot of salespeople don't know how to prospect well.
Absolutely. But then again, there's a lot, like I say, we're on the second or third generation of sales managers who never learned how to prospect. So they're as guilty as putting people on the phone and just telling them to start selling and hit sales targets as the salespeople, because most salespeople are just doing what they're told, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So let's go to the LinkedIn strategy, because I've been hearing a lot about LinkedIn lately, you know, and I actually thought it was dead for a while, you know, because a couple of years ago, it just sort of fiddled out. Not many people were using it.
When Microsoft bought it, it certainly fell off the side for a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, but lately I'm hearing LinkedIn from almost every single person I talk to. No one has a really good strategy for how to reach out to people on LinkedIn. It's a lot of just, you know, hey, let me invite you and follow your journey. And then, by the way, do you need this type of service, or are you interested? You know, it's very... clunky. You know what I mean? It's very clunky. Everyone I talk to. So how would you use LinkedIn, or how do you use it now?
Well, most people who are selling workshops, courses, ideas for selling on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is very much like Facebook in the fact that it's just somebody trying to take money off other people, you know? It's a big money-making machine, and lots of people are trying to sell the quick fix. But, you know, there's no Jedi mind trick. There's no quick fix for business development. If you're going after low-hanging fruit, everybody's going after low-hanging fruit, and they don't see any value in it, and they'll batter you for price. So with LinkedIn, when you've got that perfect customer avatar, when you've focused on the person you really want to help, then even on a normal LinkedIn search, you don't need Sales Navigator for this. Sales Navigator is quite a nice tool, but it's not essential. You can go into a normal LinkedIn search and find people by location, by job type, even by industry, and you can start generally reaching out, because as you've got a half decent list of connections, the people you want to speak to are probably second connections to you anyway. But the secret with LinkedIn is not to start selling. I will quite happily link up with somebody, and then when they send me that, you know, 30 seconds later, that sales pitch, I will quite happily unlink them, because it's not that I don't expect them to treat me as a prospect. We're all somebody's prospect and somebody's customer. I get that. But, you know, you don't treat people like the wounded zebra in the long grass and tear them to pieces as soon as you get an opportunity, you know?
Yeah, I get that. That's why I'm trying to figure out if you have a strategy that works better, right? Because I know the stuff that doesn't work and you shouldn't do it, but what does work?
Yeah, okay, so send through an invite. When they send through the invite, you send a thank you for the invite without selling. I'll share a secret with you, since it's just you and me. people pay a lot of money for this advice, but the survey question, let's take sales training, for instance. So a sales training question, survey question would be, thanks, for the connection on LinkedIn. While I'm on, I'm doing a short survey. I was wondering if you could tell me what's the biggest challenge in your industry with regards to new business right now.
Oh.
Okay. So the people who don't get in contact with you haven't got a problem. The people who email you back saying, thanks for the connection, but I haven't got a problem, We'll keep in touch with those because they're Uber friendly already. But then the third group who write back and say, thanks for the invite, Chris. The problem I have is none of my sales team can prospect. Okay. Then my next email is, thanks for getting back to me. Maybe this article, maybe this link will help.
Interesting.
And then, yeah. And so now that's three touch points. The fourth touch point is probably something in the region of, I hope the article was quite useful to you, or the video or the white paper, whatever it might have been. If you need to go a little bit deeper, if I can help in any way, I'm free next Tuesday or Thursday. What would be a good time to give you a call?
Yeah, I'm writing this down. This is great.
it's gold.
I really appreciate it. You know, I've been hearing about it, and it's the one thing that's been stopping me personally, and I think probably a lot of listeners, from pulling a trigger on LinkedIn is just time, right? To really sit down and, one, figure out the tool, two, figure out if I can still log into LinkedIn, and three, you know, start messing around with the different strategies.
Sure. And now the thing, one of the reasons I'm loath to share that to too many people is, as soon as it becomes the norm, as soon as it becomes the normal thing to do, it doesn't work anymore.
That's true.
As soon as the shysters and half jobs start sending out a template with a survey question, then people like me and you and others who actually genuinely want to help get lost in the mess again, you know?
Yeah, so would you like me to cut this out from the podcast and really leave it between me and you?
You were pushing me for something that's effective, and there's too many things out there that aren't effective. So let's give somebody an early Christmas present, eh?
That's perfect. Yeah, I actually have really good listeners, right? So I would doubt that more than two or three, because we're always going to get some morons, you know, anywhere, in any room. And this is not, you know, being mean. It's like any room you go to, out of 100 people, there's at least one idiot just somewhere hiding around. So there's a few, you know, which will hopefully they're too lazy to use it.
Absolutely. I'm told 1 in 10 people are psychopaths as well, so that's always a worry. But
that's a much bigger, that's 10%.
Absolutely. So yeah, there's 1 in 100 is lazy, 10 people would kill you. I have to say though, the other side of that, again, quoting Perry Marshall, Perry Marshall tells a great story that he calls "Racking the Shotgun," and it's sort of like in Planet Perry, it's legendary. But I hope he doesn't mind me sharing it with you. A guy goes to Las Vegas and he's going to play cards professionally, and he's taken under the wing by an old hand, who the first thing the older guy says is, "We're not going to play cards on the strip. We're going to go off the strip and play where people are playing for proper money." He takes him to a small single level bar. It smells of bourbon. There's blues playing, and as they walk in, the older guy under his jacket has a shotgun, and in America it's called racking the shotgun. In the UK it's called charging. It's when you snap it open and close, and you go, makes that cracking sound, and it's loading the shotgun. And so the young man gets a bit concerned about this and wonders why, and even the barman says, "Is everything okay?" And yeah, everything's fine. And the old guy turns to the young man and says, "8 people in the bar turned round when I racked the shotgun. We're not going to play cards with those people because they're dangerous. They know what a shotgun sounds like. Everybody else is worth playing for."
Yeah, that story's from the 80-20 sales manager.
Yeah, sales market. Absolutely. That's a great story. And the thing is, with the survey question, it racks the shotgun. Every single time you have a touch point with prospecting, you want to rack the shotgun. The LinkedIn invitation to the first one, if they accept, you rack the shotgun and they accept it. If you send the survey question out and they write back and tell you what their problem is, you rack the shotgun and they've returned and said, "I have a problem." And if you send out a link and say, "Let me know how you get on with this," you wrap the shotgun and ask them to get back in touch. But every single touch point should have a shotgun, wrap the shotgun moment where you see if they're going to take it to the next level. It should have a question or an action point, which is so subtle, because I genuinely mean this from the heart. I really am trying to help people here with it. I want to replace the word selling for helping. If you're not trying to help me, don't get in touch. If you're trying to help me, it'll shine through your eyes and everything you write and everything you communicate. So if you're trying to help me, use these things with intent to help people, but don't use them to rip them off. But just very subtly go in and rack the shotgun and move forward.
Yeah, and I really like this story, but I'll tell you the small problem I do have with that story. And it's probably just me that noticed, because I thought about it. You know, and Perry says, you know, you rack the shotgun and the people who react, you don't play with. Well, in reality, the people who do react to the shotgun, that's the ones you do want to play with.
Yeah, it's the other way around, yeah. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, it's in his story, the people who turned around are the people you don't want to play with. In a sales sense, the people who do turn their heads are the people you want to interact with. Quite right.
Right. So that was the only thing. Like, it doesn't really matter, but it's always bugged me. I'm
like... to be fair, every time I tell it, I sort of like twinges something in my head as well, but I just kept quiet about it.
But no, it's fair game. Most people don't even notice it, you know. But I'm just one of these, like, you know, I can't. It's there. Once you see it, you can't unsee it type of person.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think that would be my very best advice. And the reach out, make a touch point, try and help, but do so in the way that enables you to know who needs your help more than others.
And I think we'll finish the episode with that, because that's a lot of gold already. You know, I don't think I can get anything else out of you that good that you're going to share with us. So, Chris, where can people find you?
My company is called Varda Cruz, which is VardaKreuz. If you Google that, you will find me straight away. But also, for all the free email series, if you go to the website, which is First Sales Training, 1stsalestraining.co.uk, that's our main site, and it's just full of videos, free tools, anything you want. Fill your boots, help yourself, become better tomorrow than you were yesterday.
Sounds good. We're done.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.